Morning show. Right now we're joined by Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, kind enough to reach out after we reached out to him to talk about the impact, the weather, and the role weather has obviously played with those horrendous wildfires out in the Los Angeles area. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Well, pretty good.
We're doing great.
Yeah, I'm excited about the game tonight, but it is just devastating to see what has happened to so many lives out in that L.A. area. Joe, obviously the winds have played a role, the dry weather. Just talk about kind of how this almost perfect storm or horrendous storm of circumstances occurred to allow this situation to occur out there.
Well, it's another situation where you can see the setup coming a couple of weeks away. The big question is, would someone ignite a fire? These fires don't spontaneously combust out there. There's not like magic CO2 molecules blowing up and suddenly starting a fire. So someone starts these fires, and then they just go absolutely wild. If the wind is very strong, you have a very powerful upper air low pressure system that what meteorologists refer to dig down into the southwest part of the United States. That, by the way, that feature is starting to move out, so winds are diminishing there. And as it moves out, it's going to dump a lot of snow around the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex area. It's already snowing in there now, but tonight into tomorrow morning is when they get a bit, you know, they're going to have to Texas two-step over there where, hey, it snows. Oh, we got to let it melt, which they don't have anything to plow it off there. So that's another situation this thing has caused. But when you get these big upper lows that dive down over the southwest, the gradient in the mid and upper levels of the atmosphere comes out of the northeast, and there's sufficient what we call downward transfer momentum. When it heats up out there, the air gets turbulent. Boom, the wind comes right down to the surface. You see it here in the afternoon quite a bit in central Pennsylvania. Some of these days where it gets real, real windy in the afternoon, the sun's out, and it's because of the mixing that's occurring because of the heating of the day. Now, the real shame here is, like, for instance, I was up looking at the wind at 5, 6 a.m. this morning. Everybody had calmed down. There wasn't much wind in places. But if you don't have the water and the infrastructure to fight these things, then you simply are behind the eight ball again. And this is where, you know, you want the man-made aspect of this is not that, oh, there are more wildfires in California. Heck, there were people on TV talking about the wildfires in 93 and 2006 and 2007. The same thing happened. The big upper lows dig in, the strong northeast gradient sets up, and you get the Santa Anas because of the way the mountains are shaped. So there's no one there to be able to do anything. You know, the guys are turning on the water pumps, and there's no water in it. So you get knuckleheads like Bernie Sanders. Oh, this place has been in a drought for the last 6 months. Southern California has been above normal rainfall for the year 2024. Anybody that understands Southern California weather understands it's feast or famine. Heck, that songwriter says never rains in California, but then it pours. Even he knew, whoever that songwriter was way back when, he even knew how California weather works. So what you have to do is you have to store the water and have it ready. And instead, they do things, you know, completely opposite out there. And I'm not being some kind of conservative demagogue here. There are a lot of people who have looked at this, and it's like they design circular firing squads and then go blame it on something else. So that's what's been going on out there, folks. But the synoptic situation is you get the big first of all, this phase one of the Madden-Julian oscillation is very interesting, all right? That's the phase that favors these upper lows at this time of the year in that particular area. Okay, so when you say, if you're a California forecaster, if you're watching the Madden-Julian oscillation a couple of weeks ago, so say, hey, we're going to be in phase one in a couple of weeks. We better look out for this. Second thing, if you notice, if you go back and look at a lot of the wildfires, November 18, back in 93, for instance, this wildfire. It's very cold in the eastern part of the United States. That's because there's a big ridge along the West Coast. That is a natural function. That's why we get cold here, and they get these incidents out there. But the best way to prevent the darn thing is don't have people, and this is what I understand goes on there. There are people that light fires in the morning or something to keep warm outside, and fires go off, and then you've got to have the ability to fight it. And if you don't understand the very nature of where you live, how are you going to be able to do that? You know, so you can't just make up facts and say, oh, it's because of climate change. I mean, depraved ineptitude or something? What do they call that, that situation when you don't really care about anything and you're just simply doing stuff to maintain your own ideas. So
maybe use the word stupidity. That might be a good word.
Well, I don't know if it's that. Depraved indifference. You're indifferent to it. And, you know, the crazy thing about this is it hit in areas where people had a heck of a lot of money and have been living sort of in a sheltered world as far as what's going on around the rest of them there in California. So it'll be interesting to see if that has any effect in not shutting people up, but at least leading to open-minded debate. I mean, the darn mayor just cut $17 million out of the firefighting budget. I'm sitting there going, now, wait a minute. You keep preaching to me how bad the climate's getting and wildfires are because of climate change. Why would you cut money out of a firefighting budget if you actually believed that, you know, the fires were a bigger threat? And by the way, folks, this ain't nothing compared to the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. You know, they always show you the wildfires from 1980 on, you know, when they show that chart, and they've increased slightly overall over the last 40 years, all right? But they don't show you what used to happen in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. Even the record-breaking year of 2017 was only 20% of what the average acreage burned was back in the 1920s. So, you know, we've definitely come a long way. But like I said the other day, if you know, with climate change, if you're going to triple the amount of pins in the way, well, when the bowling ball comes along, you're going to knock down more pins. There are a lot more people living there 60, 70, 80 years ago. You wouldn't have had this amount of damage, even if you had the same kind of fire.
I love a bowling analogy. Thank you, Joe. I love that.
Now, I stole that from a buddy of mine who's on our Wise Guys of Weather show. So,
it works. Here's a question. Now, from your knowledge, all right? Now, I've been to L.A., beautiful. I've been to San Diego, beautiful. Weather, beautiful, great. And whenever you see L.A. on TV, there's the city, and it's gigantic, and it's flat, and there's the Pacific Ocean. You mentioned the mountains, which, again, if you sort of turn around and look the other direction, you see mountains. I think a lot of folks don't realize that there's mountains out there. Now, Joe, from your knowledge, you mentioned that earlier. Is it the height of the mountains, the shape of the mountains, that these roaring winds come out of the mountains and do this? I don't understand.
The mountains are such that they're sort of parallel in a way where there's a turbulent mixing and a funneling of the air, between the mountains. I mean, look, we have something that my friend AccuWeather Joe Lumberg and I used to call the Bollesburg blade. All right, what the Bollesburg blade is, if you get a certain gradient wind out of the south southwest. If you line it up from the surface to about 5,000 feet, you come into Bollesburg, and the blade is coming down off the mountains, melting all the snow, and the winds will be blowing 40, 50 miles an hour in gusts over here. I drive into the gym, which is one of the gyms I use as Victory. There's no wind at all over there. There's no wind in State College. It's just you get right to about the Bollesburg Museum, and from there on in, boom. The wind goes crazy. So it's not like every single solitary place in Southern California has wind gusts to 100 miles an hour. Or during the day, though, during the day, when the sun comes out and things heat up, if you have a northeast gradient from let's say the surface up to all the way up to 18,000 feet, there's turbulent transfer. The air heats up, and there's two ways you get rid of the difference in heating between the low levels and the upper levels. You can develop cumulus clouds and try to get rid of them through thunderstorms. If it's so darn dry, you can't get any clouds to form because it is so dry out there. Then you get that northeast wind, and there's a turbulent the downward transfer momentum to the surface, and that's what you see happen. And yeah, the mountains will aid it. If you get the wind lined up the correct way, the mountains will accelerate the wind. What is that? Bernoulli's law. I think I was paying attention that day in class. When you compress something, you accelerate it. That's a very, okay, for you professors at Penn State, it's a very dumbed down version of it. So don't be mad at me.
It works.
It works.
Yeah, he's talking to me, folks. You gotta cut him some latitude here, and I appreciate the dumbing down for you, Mr. Bastard.
Now, Joe, you mentioned earlier that their rainfall is actually above average for the year,
but it's typical as to how Southern California just gets wet. So what happened was the first 6 months of the year were very wet. They should have been storing water like squirrels store nuts for the winter. They should have had everything stored up. And if they built these reservoirs in close, you have Lake Mead. I mean, they were showing pictures of it. What happened? They said it was going to be without water, and you see all of a sudden Lake Mead is, so far above normal, people can't believe it. But then it gets dry, and Southern California is a dry climate. It's a feast or famine climate. And anybody that knows California weather understands that, all right? So what happens is the last 6 months have been dry. So you had all the winter rainfall and into the spring leading to above-normal vegetation, above-normal growth. Well, what happens when when it dries out and the vegetation dries out? You have more fuel for fire. So, and this is why it's so important to manage that stuff in a consistent way. If you want to live in a place like Southern California, you have to take some responsibility as far as a government agency and people that are supposed to lead to do due diligence to protect your people from stuff like this, because it's going to happen. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. And, they were quoting the last time that it was real bad, 2017-2018, November 2018, like I said, it was absolutely frigid in the eastern part of the United States. Yeah, huge ridge of high pressure on the west coast, north-northeast, strong north-northeast gradient in California, and so you got that effect. And in his defense, President Trump went after people on that, and as usual, in one ear, out the other. But, they took on Newsom and said, Newsom was just becoming the California governor, said, you got to do this. And, obviously they didn't. They need to protect the Delta smelt, all right? Well, I'm being sarcastic, but they allow water to flow into the Pacific that they could easily store up so it could protect this small 2-inch fish or something in the basin over there, and they just let it go. What they did in Spain, you've heard about the horrendous floods in Spain? It's the same excuse Newsom used. We want things to go back to being natural, all right? So we're going to let these rivers just flow through. So what they did was they undammed some crucial areas in Spain, and the rivers just went absolutely wild when the floods came along there. So you're getting situations where, yeah, it's man-made influence, man-made stupidity, instead of actually modifying something so you can mitigate the situation, they go the other way. I'm sorry I'm talking with this tone in my voice, but every time I see this, even the other day, the AP comes out with an article, and they do it every time it gets cold in the winter. Hey, guess what? Global warming is going to cause more cold. I mean, it's a joke. Yep. I don't... I don't understand it, but, you know, I've got a very limited mindset.
Less significant but more relevant to our immediate area. What are we looking at, Joe, the next, I guess, several days here in terms of, I guess, the amount of snowfall that we
might
get?
Well, I have a similar amount to what happened. The other, not with the snow squall outbreak, with the what we got Sunday night and Monday, which was a gently falling silent shroud of 1 to 2, 1 to 3 inches. This is the so far. This has been the year of little nuisance snows. So, fortunately, yesterday, I don't know, fortunately or unfortunately for me, because I played it up, the snow squall band just came across very quickly. It dropped through here in about 15 to 20 minutes. You may have noticed it at noon. You couldn't see across the street, and then all of a sudden it's gone. What I was anticipating happening was it may get stuck in the area due to the gradient, and that gradient pushed it south of us far enough that it didn't get stuck in the area. So it just came through. Snow squall prediction is real hard to do overall, and the thing is that it could turn things into chaos in just a matter of minutes. And so you want to, I may be guilty of, being a little bit paranoid on snow squall outbreaks in here, because I've only seen two with 4 inches, but I've seen a bunch of them with a half inch to an inch, and they cause plenty of problems. You saw the one Friday night, people, driving off the road all the time. So this is like another. Seems like it wants to snow when we wrestle, so it's going to be similar to that. We'll probably go into the wrestling matches. Well, I don't know. Maybe the wrestling match only lasts 45 minutes or something. Who knows what's going to happen there? I shouldn't talk that way. That's being cocky. But now Michigan State has some good guys, so hopefully, look, we want to make sure everybody, we pack rec hall every single time and we don't assume anything. Besides, aren't you curious as to how many points certain guys can run up?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, what,
it's like
a pinball machine.
It's amazing. This team that they have.
Let me ask one more question of Joe. All right. Now, Joe, this may be a naive question, but all right, where we live, all right, we've got trees, we've got brush, we've got mountains. Could what's happening in L.A. ever happen here?
Well, if we dry out, dry out fast enough, but I would assume, President Trump has said this, that there are certain places with a lot of forest and they have a lot of, wildfire potential. People know how to deal with it. People know it's ready. This is part of this idea I'm going to try to present to the administration, having a contingency corps developed that if you see 2-3 weeks away a threat, some kind of threat developing, whether it's a hurricane, a cold wave, or whatever, that you start taking steps to prepare the battlefield, so to speak, so you can mitigate the situation. If we see a situation, let's say we're dry for a month, the worst time to be very, very dry is in the fall. And unfortunately, a lot of times falls get dry, because that's when all your leaves fall off the trees. It's all there for fuel. And the wind loves to pick up in the fall. It's not quite as strong in the summer. So theoretically, yes, it could happen. We've seen some very bad wildfires. I want to see what happened up in Canada when something gets loose, which, by the way, there was something really funky about that, because there were no thunderstorms going off, and I was watching the video in reviewing how all those wildfires went on. And about 15 or 16 of them went off at once, which kind of weird, if you know what I mean, although it could just be people out in the forest just, I don't know.
There are a lot of people suspecting, but, we'll find out, certainly, I think.
The one that just went off in Hollywood, I mean, that is really strange to me that just happened. That is really strange that... as I understand, the core of Hollywood is, in a fire zone now. So that's just really weird to me. They're not really out of the woods. They're right in the areas where people live, and that makes me pretty suspicious about some things.
We appreciate the time as always. We appreciate the knowledge and the wisdom. And there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Yes, there is.
I'll explain that when we come back.
Oh, boy.
I loved a quote I got yesterday. In the meantime, Mr. Bastardi, what are we supposed to do with this doggone weather?
Well, I don't know if I have the knowledge or wisdom to remember because I'm confused, but enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.